There were other images of the surface of Mars released this week, but to appreciate them fully, you have to look at them through 3D glasses, the kind you might buy in a comic book store. That led us to wonder how exactly 3D works, and to find out, we called on Daniel Sims, CEO of the 3D production company, Dimension 3.
It's what we call selection. The red lens only sees the blue image, because if you're looking at a white piece of paper and there's a blue image on it, if you look through the red lens, that makes the blue ink go black, or it's visible. But if there's a red image, the red lens makes the red turn white and therefore disappear against the white paper. So by having that selection, the left image, which is produced by a left camera, only goes to your left eye. The blue image only goes to your right eye, and the brain combines them into a three-dimensional image.
Now, we know that there have been 3D comic books, 3D movies. Who figured out that you could make a 3D image this way?
Like so many other inventions, a number of people were behind it, and it was various stages of development. But real photography started roughly 1840, and by 1841, there were 3D pictures being taken. It was a very early and quickly understood concept. But in those days and into the turn of the 20th century, people had in their homes what were called stereoscopes. There were two pictures side by side, left eye, right eye, on a card, and you'd put it into this visor type thing you'd hold up to your face like a ViewMaster, and you'd see 3D from around the world.
Now, I remember stereopticons. I've seen them, these stereo viewers where you looked at a card that had two images on it. But those didn't require red and blue lenses like the 3D movie glasses that are being recommended here.
No, and also the limitation was you had to hold the viewer up to your face and nobody else could look at it at the same time. So in the 1850s, at about the same time all these other developments were taking place in photography, a couple of people, specifically a Frenchman, figured out the idea that if you could print the two pictures superimposed and viewing with the colored glasses, you decode the picture, so to speak. That allowed then multiple people to look at the 3D picture, and that evolved eventually into the ability to have 3D movies, which go back to at least to the early 20s.
I'm curious. 3D technology images have been around almost as long as photography has been around, but it always seems to have been, or at least in recent decades or the past century, it seems to have been a kind of a sideshow technology. We don't go to big movie theaters to see things in 3D. We may see IMAX movies, but we don't go to see things in this kind of three-dimensional projection. Why didn't it become more popular that each of us would want to have a television set with a three-dimensional image, do you think?
It's been a dream. And for somebody who's worked in as long as I have, and that's more years than I care to mention, it's always been a frustration. And yet there's a side to me that says, well, would I want to watch Wheel of Fortune in 3D on my TV?
Mm-hmm. I have to think about that first. No, go ahead. Yeah,
3D is the circus coming to town. It is something bigger, better, and more. Like IMAX, you point out 3D IMAX. The latest evolution of IMAX is 3D, because that is the icing on the cake. That is the ultimate. But it also is complex and very difficult to do, and very difficult to do well. So just doing it for the average home television set and the average theater is more trouble than the exhibitors and the TV broadcasters want to go to.
Mr. Sims, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Daniel Sims, who is the CEO of Dimension 3, a 3D production company, and as you can hear, he also is a historian of 3D. He spoke to us from his office in Woodland Hills, California.